the results, and the best results don't happen in 2 weeks. Give them 3 or 4 or 5 years. 10 years still better, 50 still better, but might not live, have that many years to do it. But on a long term, watch the results of the people and how they live. Watch the people who live clean, live honest. And watch the ones who don't. Just watch them. Have you noticed, and this again, I don't want to be critical, this is, depends a little bit sometimes on our family and our background. Have you noticed how some people, it seems like, have what it takes to build a loving, functional home, a home that loves and functions? Some people have a hard time with that. It seems like it's, get that thing going. There's a difference of a heart. Some people have the difference of a heart. And believe it or not, if you want to be a good man that can lead and live a home, you need to be a clean man. Clean man. That little bit of playing around with sin, it's like cutting off our wings, getting our feathers dirty. The same way with the ladies. Playing around with sin hinders us from being what God wants us to be. Oh, sin is such a deception, such a lie. But to build a happy family, there takes some qualities of the heart. The love between a man and a wife, and the love between brethren, it's something of a closeness. It's sharing. Even in marriage, there's a closeness and an intimacy deeper than just sex. It's a thing of heart, open to heart, closeness. And that takes a quality of heart. And I'm going to just throw this in. This is not my main subject tonight. But one of the qualities that we need to have that is to learn to obey your parents. Oh, he's going back to kindergarten. But God says, and you know what? I believe the Bible. And I find it works. The Bible says, honor your parents and obey them, that it may go well with thee. Now, not just because, you know, you got to obey daddy because he's... No. Doing that and to learn to honor and submit to your parents and working with authority develops a quality in your heart that you need to love and you need to be what God wants you to be. So again, it's not for me, it's not that important if the person in authority over me or whoever, it's not that important how perfect he is or how many mistakes he makes, but it's my response to him. And it's for my good, my own personal freedom. And this thing of purity is it's a condition of the heart first. It's the way we think about life. If we think wrong, if you think wrong, then it's really hard to control your passions. You spend all day thinking wrong, then it's very hard to control your passions. It's first a condition of the heart. And it's in remembering who I am, what I'm here for, and being that. And thinking that way. In the moment of temptation, in the moment of this possibilities for sin, in the moment of to remember who I am. And thinking the way God thinks. I'll be noticing more of that, I think, as we go. So, it's first of all a thing of the heart. And I would like to encourage you young people, and all of us, and I have the same responsibility. We need to take care of our own hearts. Your heart is like your garden. It's the real you on the inside. Take care of your own heart. Now, it's good to have parents. And I thank the Lord that I had parents. I had a father that watched over me. And if he wouldn't have been watching me, I probably would have gotten into some more things that I wish now I wouldn't. He helped me. I thank him. That's what we're here for, fathers. But as young people, you need to start guarding your own heart. If you want to be a man that's free and a man that's honorable, if you want to be a lady that's free and honorable, you have got to watch your own heart. It's not just watching the things you do, but it's the way you think about things. And, the ministers can watch for you. It says that. We're supposed to watch for the flock. But...
Steve, Jason, Dan, how much do you see your people during the week?
Parents can watch a little better. But even so, there's hours that you're not around. And if you want to, and it has to be born of your own heart, my own desire, I want to be what God wants me to be. So I need to take care of my heart. I need to keep my heart clean. I need to be, you know. There's a difference. I like goats. One of the differences between a goat and cattle, or let's compare goats and pigs. Let's compare goats and pigs. Pigs love mud. When pigs see mud, they just and they go and they roll around in it. But you know what a goat does when he sees mud? He'll get around it and he'll go real tight. He tries real hard to not get dirty, not get his feet dirty. If that's the way we need to live, I need to myself, my conscience, to keep myself clean. You know, you can't expect someone to be watching over your shoulder all the time, because that's when we have serious problems. You know, when no one's looking. Then we play a little bit with it. Don't. Be a goat. Sorry. Don't be a goat. But be that kind of friend. You want to stay clean. You want to keep your mind free. Okay. God created us. We looked at that in the first chapter. God created sexual beings. We are that way. We have our bodies. We have our hormones. And we have our desires. And you know, our problem is not our body. Our problem is not the hormones. Our problem is not the desires. It's what we do with it. I've told my children, my young people, when they get to adolescence, you will feel. Things will happen. You will have these desires. Hormones happen and you have feelings. And that's not wrong. That's good. Just use it the way God wants you to use it. Just use it the way God wants you to use it. Don't try to shove it back that it doesn't exist. It exists. And just worship God with it. Say, God, it's yours. I want to be pure. I want to be that bird that flies. I want to keep this for you, Lord. I want to keep this for you. He said it's good, and it is good, if we do it right. It's almost hard to believe that, because our world has made it something so, so ugly. This thing of purity and sex is one of the things the world has made so, so ugly. We should stand up to that. One day I was in a shop, and I've done it in restaurants too, and they have these indecent pictures. And I said, sir, if you want to be a serious man with a serious business, that doesn't fit. One day they had a lady secretary, and I asked her, you like to work with that picture on the wall? You accept that? Yes. No. It's making something awful. It's taking something that God made beautiful and making it ugly. So, I think one of the first things we need to do in this thing, and each one of you, I'd encourage you young people, older too, is you have your body, you have your desires, and you have your feelings, and just say, thank you, Lord. This is for you. I want to keep it clean for you. My mom used to tell my sisters. She says, imagine you have and that can be for the boys as well as the girls. Imagine you have this precious pearl or something. It's really precious. It's really clean. It's really nice. Put it in a box with cotton. Put a lid on it and keep it safe. Don't take it and throw it around the street and roll it around in the mud and get it dirty and scratched up. Take it, put it in a box with cotton, put a lid on it, and keep it safe till the Lord calls you to use it for His glory. But turn it over to Him. And I think that's especially young men, well, all of us, but especially young men, if we can see that, we can worship God with this part of our body. Say, Lord, it's yours. And I want to give it to you. Use it your way. Submitting it to Him, to His will, and to His time. God designed this to be something very personal, very precious, and very intimate. And there's reasons why I'm saying this, because I'm leading on to something. God made this to be something very personal, something that is special. It's not to be thrown around in the streets. It's not to be shown around in the streets. It's something personal.
This type of relationship is something that God designed to be with only two people. Only two people. And as soon as a third person starts entering in, it hinders the relationship. As soon as a third person starts coming in, it messes up the relationship. It's a thing that he wants between two people. It's a sharing. It's a closeness. But it must be kept under his direction, for not it'll bring us great shame. So keep your heart and keep it that way. That is something for you to guard. Your mother can help you. Your father can help you. Your minister can help you. But it's first of all you to guard. Breaks my heart. Just not even a year ago. The Latin Americans have the custom, when a girl turns 15, they throw a party. 15, I don't know exactly why it is, and sometimes they almost like a wedding. They have a party because the girl can turn 15 years old. And they've asked me different times. I just spoke with one tomorrow, 2 weeks ago. Beautiful opportunity. People there that don't come to church, so I poured my heart out, speaking and said some of the things that I want to say tonight about purity. But about a year ago, I spoke at a birthday party like that. It's not even a year ago. And she's lost it. She didn't listen to me. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. It's something that we, and each one of us, and boy, men, women, saying, we need to take it. It's your personal responsibility to keep this for him. And bring every thought, in 2 Corinthians 10, it says, bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now here again, we might look at that, what do you mean, bring everything to obedience? Well, let's just look at that. That simply means, we tend to look at those things negatively. Maybe you don't. But carnality does. Bring everything to obedience. What do you mean? No, that simply means that every thought is thought the way God thinks. When I have a temptation, when I see someone or a temptation or something that tempts me, I think God's thoughts. If you do that, you won't sin. You won't sin. Think God's thoughts. Keep your heart pure. Bring your mind to think like God thinks. And that's a beautiful thing. It's not limiting you. It's not like black and difficult and mean. It's freedom. It's freedom to think like God thinks. Watch the stimulations. Especially in this area, watch the stimulations. And here again, this is where we don't watch our hearts. We like to play with little things that stimulate our curiosity and stimulate feelings. We'll be talking more about that. But watch that. Because impurity starts way back there before we often think. It's when we play along with thoughts. We play along with imaginations. You're playing and you're thinking. You're not thinking God thoughts. You're thinking carnal thoughts. Catch that. Catch that. Check it in your mind. Remember who you are. And when you have a temptation, young men, here's this young lady. I know, older men. This lady in a restaurant, a lady in the bank, there's a lady on the street, or there's this lady I work with, or there's this lady, and all at once, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Maybe she's not dressed right. Remember who you are. And remember who she is. She needs Jesus. She needs a long dress. She needs a changed heart. And remember who you are. The same way when you face temptations, remember who you are. And take your stand. This is what I am. This is who I am. There's another one. Don't be like a dumb ox. Sorry. Let's look at Proverbs 6. Don't be like a dumb ox. Proverbs 6. Why is an ox dumb? Proverbs 6. The Bible doesn't say dumb ox, but I'm saying that because I want to make a point. poor ox. I like cattle. I like animals. The ox is doing just what he's supposed to do. I like to halt or break an animal. I like to halt or break cattle and steers. And I put a rope on him and I can lead him wherever I want. He's the poor ox. He's doing a good job. He's doing what he's supposed to do. But he used an example here that fits real good for us. Proverbs 6, verse 23, he says, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." Now here we're talking about personal responsibility. Brethren, sisters, when you go, wherever you go, stop at a truck stop, or you're in the store, or somewhere those videos are going, or wherever you go, let it lead you. When you sleep, let it keep you. And when you're awake, let it talk with you. The teachings of God, the truth. Then it says 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." I'm just going to jump here to save time. That's a good verse. Let's keep reading here. "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." A precious life that turns into just a piece of bread. "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent." Shall not be innocent. Now let's look down here, chapter 7, verse 7. I'm just grabbing some verses here. "And beheld," and he's saying here, he's looking out, and he sees this person that's young and not wise. "And beheld," and it said, "I beheld among the simple ones, and I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding." Lack of wisdom. He was ignorant. I just use the words to get the point. He was just dumb. Ignorant. Why? Because he's passing through the street near the woman, this corner, and this woman, and he lets her. And I'm just going to jump down to verse the ox part, verse 22. "He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks." Now, like I say again, the ox is doing the right thing. But he's using an example. You know, you can take an ox, if you've trained a steer or a calf or a heifer, you've trained them to halt, you can put a rope on him, you can say, "Come, boy." And he'll follow you and he'll walk right to the post. You can tie him on and the gun might be sitting there, whatever you're going to kill. He'll walk right up there so you can kill him. Well, he was made to do that. That's fine. That's not running around. But you know, if that ox would know where he's going and everything's happened, he would... And he'd pull that rope away and he'd turn around and run. Now, the ox is doing what he's supposed to do, but he's comparing that to us. When we just, and this is the thing, when we follow our lusts, when we follow our desires, if you just let your desires, your lusts lead you, he's saying we're just like a dumb ox. We're just letting them lead us right down to then later kill us. And it's something very important, young people, to realize. We never can let our lusts and our desires lead you. You'll end up in bad shape. We need to let truth lead us. Righteousness. And there's certain things, we turn around like that ox, we turn around and run. Run from it. Not be a dumb ox. A dumb ox, what he does is just... you just let your passions lead you, and you just follow your passions. Just follow him right where he's taking you. Take you wherever you want and just ruin your life. And this applies to both men and women. Don't be like that. Don't let your passions, don't be led to somewhere by your passions. And after it's all over, they say, "Why did I do it? Why? Why did I do this?" Okay, now I'd like to talk a little bit to the sisters, and then I'd like to talk to the men. This thing about letting our passions lead you, that applies for both of us. I'd like to talk a little bit to the ladies tonight. And when I do this, it's because, you know, one of the most beautiful things we have right now in the church? You ladies. Because of what's been done to the lady, to the woman in this world. I'm sure God cries over that. And men, we should cry instead of like look at those pictures. We should cry what you're doing. So one of the beautiful testimonies we have are you ladies. To be the ladies that God wants you to be. And men notice. I've had so many times men tell me, oh, those ladies in your church, they're so beautiful. Sometimes women don't say it. You know this thing about wearing a veiling and the long dresses. Sometimes they say, I don't like that. But many times I've seen hardened men, sinful men say, those ladies are beautiful. The long dresses, the covered veil, the veilings, the honesty, the cleanness. Beautiful. I'd like to encourage you today, lay sisters, that is a beautiful testimony. Clean, honest ladies, the clean face. They're like flowers in the kingdom of God. And you can show the world that we don't have to follow that way, the way the world's going. But I have to tell you something. Don't allow or don't use your physical beauty as a way to get self-worth. Here I could say some of this better in Spanish. I'm a little awkward with my words in English here. But don't, you know, we all long to have value. We all long to be important. I hate to use that word because it sounds like pride. Now, I don't mean pride. We all want to have value. And that's not wrong. But don't be caught in the trap that you have value because of the way you look. It's like I said last night, it's cruel, it's not fair, because some of them think they're pretty and others think they aren't. Don't fall into that trap. Because if you do, you're only hurting yourself. Because, and for all of us, we need to, and I know as a youth my struggles and through some things to coming to find rest in who I am in Jesus. Realizing my sinfulness, repentance, and just I'm loved by Jesus. I don't have to be outstanding. I don't have to be pretty. I don't have to, you know, impress. I just who I am in Him. Loved, uniquely created, and loved by Him. Because this is a terrible trap. A lot of people do this. Because a lady's body does have power. Now don't try it. Thank you, each one of you, the way you dressed. But when a woman uncovers her body, it does. I'm talking honest tonight. Because I think we need to look at some of this honest. Because we get caught in this a little bit. But when a lady's body does catch attention, and that's what's happening all over the world, and men don't fall for it. Trap. But don't use your body. In the world they do that. They use your body to be looked up at. People to look at you. I shouldn't even say it. I was going to say. A lady undresses and men look at her. Sure they will. Oh yeah. You might want to notice what kind of men look at her. You might want to notice what kind of men look at her. But if you want to get attention, that's one way to do it. I'll guarantee it. It works. But it makes you cheap. Cheap. God did not... The physical attraction that a lady has is something that God gave us for one person. Not to show around. It's for one person. It's like that little... pearl in the box with cotton. Put a lid on it and save it. Don't use it to get attention and think that by that you're popular, and you can do that. A little story here, a lady, young lady. Her mother is a member of the church. Her mother came to the church, came to Christ, and is in the church. She came after her children had all left home, and her husband had left her with another woman. One day she called me up. She said, Mano Marcos, she says, one of my daughters is here. She's got problems. Could you come talk to her? I said, sure. Love to. So my wife and I go, and I go talk to the ladies. I always take my wife along. And so I get there, and I'm walking in the house. And I had seen the girls before. And she was dressed that way. The way she talked to him in the beginning, it changed as we talked. The way she talked, she played the game. I could tell this lady has played the game, and this is her value. And even with me, a preacher, the way she talked, the way she dressed, the way she, her mannerisms, I just saw this little girl, ever since she's little, she's used her body to get attention. Well, I looked deeper than that, looked beyond that, and we sat down and started talking. And the mother says, "My daughter has problems, and she'd like to talk to you." And then she starts telling me. She says, "I loved a boy. I loved a young man. And I thought I loved him, and I thought he loved me. And we started living together outside of marriage, no commitment, just living together. We had a little boy. Then things started going sour, problems. He left me, and then there was a lawsuit. And I don't know why. I don't understand why. It's usually the other way, but the father got the right to the... They took the little boy away from me. So I'm all alone again. And she said, then I found another boy. I thought he liked me. I thought he loved me. I thought we loved each other. I thought we really loved each other. We started living together. That fell apart. She didn't tell me. Her mother had told me before. I knew there was another one. There had been three of them. And then she slouches down in her chair, and her tongue and her lip starts quivering. Tears start. And she says, "What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? That nothing turns out right for me. What's wrong with me? My life's going backwards. What's wrong? Why can't I find love?" You could answer that question, couldn't you? She was playing that game. And she knew how to do it. And she could catch men's attention. She could pick up men. That's no problem. I told her, we told her some other things. I said, "Never let another man touch you or kiss you till he has committed himself." I like to be frank. "So don't let another man hug you or kiss you till he's committed to live with you till you die. Till married, die." I tried to help her see that. It was the wrong way. I'm sad to say, you know what she did? About a few months later, she's with another, and she's with another now. You didn't listen to me. She cried that day with me, and I prayed with her, and I hoped she might come to Christ. But she was another one now. She's still out there trying. But don't do that. But for us, I don't think any of us are going to do that, you know. But there's another thing, is this thing that we think that we can use our physical beauty, you know, in the youth group, and in, it shouldn't be that way, especially not in the church. Come on, guys, not in the church. That certain girls are more popular than others because of the way they look. That should not be. Don't play that game. Don't use your beauty to make yourself to have value. Because the Bible says that our beauty should not be, in 1 Peter 3, our beauty should not be the outward man. Our beauty should be the hidden inner man, the heart that shines out. That's the beauty. That's your beauty. I'm not ashamed to say that. Am I right, Jason? That's your beauty. And the men in the world, those hard, coarse men, when they see that spirit of a meek and quiet spirit, the love of Jesus in your hearts, they say, "That lady is beautiful." I remember once one of the sisters in the church, and the world would not say she's beautiful. But he's right. She has a spirit that just sweetness comes out of her. An old man, old hard man, Don Benjamin Rojas, he told me, "Mark, I talked to that lady from your church. She's beautiful. Such a beautiful woman." And I knew he was not talking about her body. He was not talking. But it's the spirit that can. The humility. The sweetness. Don't allow yourself to get your value in the way you look, and play up that thing of the way you look. If you just stop and think about it. You can think about it. What is it that makes me want to catch attention with the way I look? With the way I fix myself. You ever think about that? What's the heart that wants to catch attention with my looks? Oh, if you stop and think about that, you might, "Whoop, I'm going to stop this. Because the beauty of a woman is her heart, is her spirit. So save that. Your beauty, God has a design for a beauty, and your physical part should be reserved only for the marriage. Yeah? And your beauty is otherwise. And here again, this is the beautiful thing about it. Every single one of you can be beautiful. Praise the Lord. Isn't the world cruel? The world says some people just missed it. That's not true. Same way with men. You don't have to be big and handsome and whatever you think is handsome. It's so many ideas about it. Just the presence of Jesus Christ in your life and you're a beautiful person. Isn't that wonderful? We can all have that, every single one. And I'd much rather, well, any man would, rather live with a woman that the world doesn't, you know, I don't even like to say that, but the world says it pretty. I'd rather live with what the woman calls a very homely woman, but she's lovely in the heart. Because that's really what makes a marriage go anyhow. is that heart. So don't go for it. Keep yourself. Don't allow your physical beauty to be the power. I've got a little example here, too, I'd like to use here tonight. I've got some candy here. This is something you don't want to forget. Two candies that look alike. I'm going to take one. I like candy. This is something I got with Steve the other day down there at the, what do you call it, saltwater taffy? I've got two candies here. Okay, let's. Maybe I shouldn't again. Lick it again. Mm-hmm. Which one do you want? Which one do you want, guys? You want this one? Which one do you want? You get the idea? Two girls. I don't think I have to say much more. Don't say much more. I'd like to say something towards the end. If there's someone here who has, this has happened to you, Jesus can heal. I want to talk about that a little later. But just remember the candies here. Wait a minute. How am I going to remember which one is the one I don't want to eat? Because I don't want this one either. Yeah. But just think of that. That's what Jesus wants you to be. Don't try to fix yourself up. Don't try to play that game of mannerisms and, you know. You know, really? I don't know how you do it. I don't go to your... It's not my business. But you should spend more time praying and getting ready for church than combing and all that stuff in front of the mirror. You know what I'd encourage you to do? Just do it the easiest way you can and be neat and get your heart right. Because usually, if I can say this, usually the person that's got to do a lot of fixing up on the outside is making a little confession. Something short on the inside. You men understand that? We're covering up for something that's short on the inside. You know what? I'd encourage you, if you have that problem, just stop. Just change. I'm not going to play that game anymore. I'm going to reserve my beauty for that special man God has for me. And I'm not going to use that to get value or pretty. I'm just going to be natural. Be what God, again, be what God made me to be. Not try to change myself, not try to be something, just be what God made me. That's the kind of men that wise men look, that's the kind of ladies wise men look for. And I'm sure if you stop and think about that, you don't want to. None of you want to use your beauty to attract a man's attention. If you stop and think about that, go home and think about it a while. If you think about that, there's something wrong with that heart. Because that's supposed to be reserved, not used as a bait. You mind if I'm real honest with you like that? I have daughters too. I love my daughters. And the world is so sinful. It's such a lie. My daughters have told me they have that temptation. Yeah, they have that temptation.
to use their body to attract attention. Please don't do it. Please don't do it. Do it the God way. Be what God wants you to be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you're all beautiful. In those circumstances, you're all beautiful. Men, don't play the game. And the problem is, we play that game. We tend to cater and we tend to be more friendly and we tend to also play that game of the man, of the woman that the world says is beautiful. Oh, young man, that we could understand what a beautiful woman is. It's the kind of woman you can live with. You know what? Listen to this line, ladies. Often the ladies that think they're the prettiest are the hardest to live with. Why? Because their thoughts are oriented wrong. Their thoughts are towards themselves. You know, I'm pretty. It's selfish. It's a self-centeredness. Boo, that's not the way you want to love. Or you can't love that way. But what is a beautiful woman is a woman who can forget herself and just be what God wants her to be. Cheerful. Free. So men, don't play that game. Be respect ladies. I'll just be honest with you. I have that struggle. I have to remind myself. Costa Rican ladies dress very indecently. Very indecently. Sometimes I feel like you put some kind of something on you, you can't see them. Well, that's not the solution either. The solution is not seeing them or not. It's that I keep in my heart who I am. And as a servant of Jesus Christ, and I don't have to be a minister to do this, even though that makes it more serious, as a servant of Jesus Christ, I should honor and respect every one of those ladies. And the prostitutes, and it might not happen here, but it can happen when a prostitute tries to get you. And the solution to these things is that you have in your heart who you are. And I refuse to play the game. I want to honor all the ladies as created by God. Treat them clean. And you know what? That's the kind of man everyone respects. Everyone respects that. They notice it. They notice it if you play the game or not. But be men of honor, men of... And you look at these ladies and feel sorry for them. Cry for them. Cry for them. Instead of lusting. Cry for them. I have some friends. It's an awful thing. Young girls, and they go out and they play that game to the extreme. There's one that I'm trying to help come back to Christ now. Now she's 1 year older than my daughter. She's 23 years old. My daughter and her used to play together as little children. But she has no husband and 1, 2, 3, 4 children. There was men that would come around and give her money, pick her up in the fancy cars and take her where they want to, and she enjoyed that. Ruined her life. Don't play. That's an extreme. You won't do that. But don't play that game. Be a man of honor in the presence of ladies. And here again, watch your own heart. Watch your own heart. Those pictures that are all around now. It's getting worse. You've got to watch your own heart. You want to keep your heart. If you want to have a heart that really can love a woman. Because you know what? I'm going to talk a little bit about pornography later. But this thing of playing with other women, it takes away your ability to love one woman. Keep your heart. I remember now, I didn't look it up in English. In Spanish, there's a proverb that says, guard your own heart. Can somebody help me with that one? Guard your own heart, for out of it comes life. It says in Spanish. Okay. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In Spanish, it says, keep your own heart, because out of it runs water, runs life. So keep your own heart. It's not a thing of who's watching you. Watch yourself. Because all those pictures and all those things and all the things you look at, they feel like, again, it sizzles on the tongue. It feels like fun. But it's damaging you. Damaging. So watch yourself. Be your own guard. You don't need your father or your minister to be watching after you. Be your own guard. It's for your own good. Don't play that game. Be a clean, honest, straight man. You know what I did once? I was married when I did this. And I'm not saying that took care of my problem. It didn't, totally. I remember getting down on my knees and out loud making a commitment to God. Lord, I want to make a commitment to be a man of a clean thought. Honorable in front of the ladies. Do that, boys. Men, I'm not going to play that game. I want to be clean. For the young men, beware. There's a trap that young men can fall looking for closeness, looking for intimacy. There's, and when I'm talking about intimacy, I'm not talking about sexual relations. I'm talking about looking for closeness to someone. We all need to be close to someone. And be careful of letting your passions, you think your passions, men often fall for that, through your passions looking for closeness. And especially single men, you know what I'd encourage you to do if you're around your mother? And mothers, you can help a lot. Fathers can too. Try to have a good relationship with your mother. Sit down and talk with your mother. And there is a unique feminine influence that men need. And as a single person, try to get close to your mother. Talk to your mother. Because you know what? And the same thing happens with ladies. I've seen that again and again. One time I was telling a lady, I was trying to help her understand. She just burst out crying. I said, sister, I think, you know, you're, part of the problem is you never got along with your father. And your father was never a good father. This is a man in the world. And you're longing for a real man. Fathers, that little girl right there, it's the best thing you can do for her is to be a man for her. You know? But the ladies who have not had a man that's close, a man that gives her love with no sexual inclinations at all. Just the closeness of a man. The strong figure. Someone I can trust. Oh, that gives her strength. Now, men, don't neglect that. In the same way, ladies, get close to your sons. Give them, they need closeness. Because often men will think they're looking for closeness and they go that wrong route. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Bring all your faculties under the control of the Holy Spirit. And this might take a serious turnabout. I'm just going to start thinking different. And I'm going to think that I'm a man of God and I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And I want to be clean. It takes a lot of prayer. This is a real battlefield for you men today. And the decisions you make on this battlefield might make a lot of difference in how much God can use you in the future. It's a battlefield that you fight. The brothers and sisters can help you. Your parents can help you. But it's basically a fight that you fight alone in your own heart. And how the enemy attacks us. You know what? I'll just be honest with you. He attacks ministers too. Jason, you ever found this? Or Steve? You know when Satan attacks me sometimes? Right after a week of meetings. Often when I'm going home from a week of meetings. Pray for me Monday. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. Tired. Been away from my wife for a while. But Satan attacks you guys. Look at Titus. I'll just grab you because you're right there. Satan is very interested in you. And one of the best ways he can ruin you is this way. One of the best ways he can just turn things around through this. Preachers. I can ruin preachers this way. It's a battlefield. Let's keep our honor. Let's be honest and clean. Let's love everyone. You know, if you love someone, you respect them. If you love someone, you respect them. It's not love. Ladies, you understand that? I don't know if I'm right or not. Maybe I'm wrong, Brother Paul. I have told my daughters,
One time they can slap a man in the face. Maybe I shouldn't have said that there. Maybe you can correct me afterwards. It's when a guy starts to do something they shouldn't do. Or maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't know. But let me tell you something. The man that wants to play with you out of marriage does not love you. He loves himself more than you. He wants to play with his own passions more than honor you. Because a woman needs the security of marriage. Remember that. We men. And I know I'm being pretty frank tonight, but I think in our world today we need to be honest. Be out and clear. Another thing I'd like to talk just at the end here is pornography. Pornography is a terrible thing. It's this thing of pictures, and now it's videos and DVDs, and it's all around us. And praise God. Praise God. But I'm sure most of your homes don't have that. Probably all of them. But you have access to pornography. And young men, don't touch this stuff. It's addictive. It damages and wilts your capacity to love a woman. Because every time you look at another woman without her clothes and all that junk and trash, you're loving strange women. You're playing with strange women. A young man, different times, but this one young man came to the church. And after being in Christ, you know what, brothers, I'm more and more, of course, I'm down there working with the men that come out of the culture there. I feel like I need to talk to these men about this and be open and find out where they are in these areas of their life. But this man was married, and he says, Brother Mark, he says, I'm just so tired of it. These videos I've seen, they just keep going. You know how those? You see something, it stays burned in your mind. And those strange women hinder you to really love the one God gave you. And remember that when you don't have her yet. Please, don't touch this stuff. Make a commitment, I will not touch that. It's very damaging. Because that stuff, it damages your relationship. It destroys your ability to love a woman. But anyway, this man, he says, I've got this. And maybe some of you have fallen into this. Might be married men. He had this pictures yet from before he was converted. It was not after he was converted. So I got together. What we did, he knelt down and prayed. And he renounced that. And he prayed about it. And I prayed in the name of Jesus. Laid my hands on him. In the name of Jesus, clean his mind. Get these things out of his mind. Clean him up. Now, he's got a responsibility. He's got to watch and not let... If he starts playing back with it in his mind, it'll all come back again. But if you get serious, if you've played with that stuff, look for someone. Pray with someone. Clean your mind. Because you cannot be a man of honor with that kind of stuff hidden in your heart. Those pictures coming and coming and coming. Don't touch it. And again, only you can do that. There's the billboard. There's the... I haven't been around that much, but in Costa Rica, we have some very indecent billboards anymore. We're on the back of buses. We have advertisements. And you're driving here with your family, and you're behind this bus, and you feel like slamming on the brakes and turning around and going somewhere else. You know? It's all over anymore. But make a decision in your mind, I'm not playing with this stuff. I'm going to keep my mind clean. And it's for your own good. It's to keep your honor. Ladies, you have to watch this too. But probably ladies is not as much the sight of pictures. You know what? Romance novels. Ladies can crawl into stories and feel the emotion. That you might almost feel like you're losing something. But don't read those. Don't live those experiences in a selfish, self-gratifying way. Save it. Save it. don't read those. There's a lot of things that are called Christian even that don't do us any good, you know? You know what I mean? Sure, you know what I mean. If you've read them anyway. Men are attracted more by sight, and ladies, it's more the feeling, the emotions in some of that. But watch that. And the whole thing is here, we want to be people of honor. People clean. People think like God thinks. The white bird that flies. Praise the Lord. It's possible.
I'd like to throw something in here real quick. It's close to closing. I'm going to talk a little bit about singlehood. I was married when I was 27. That's why I was surprised Nevin has children as old as he does. And I thought he was a lot older than I was. He got started earlier than I did. That's fine. But I was married when I was 27, and I had a brother in Christ that I dearly loved and admired, who encouraged me of the virtues of singlehood. There was a time I thought that I might stay single. I remember the place. I can take you right to it. One afternoon by myself, where I felt the Lord telling me, no, He wants me to get married. I didn't really resist it very strongly, but I felt the Lord tell me, no. I did think, you know, singlehood is an honorable thing. Now, the natural thing, what God planned us to be married. God planned us to live in marriage. But He called some people to be single. The Apostle Paul is one. Jesus is one. And there is a thing where, another thing, if you want to stop and think about girls, girls worry about this, or men maybe too. Have you noticed, I'm going to use a term I don't like to use, but have you noticed that it's not just what the world calls the pretty girls that get married? Have you noticed that? It's not just the smart girls that get married. I've seen some very smart ladies that are not married. It's not that. So if you're not, you know, if things aren't happening and you're not getting married, right, don't take that personal. It's because I'm a reject. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants to marry me. I'm just left over. No. There's a divine designer. And can you accept that if that happens, brothers, or if you accept that and say, Lord, my first love is You, is Jesus. And if you can offer that to Him, tell you what, it wouldn't hurt to do it anyhow, and let the Lord bring you the marriage then if He wants to. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm Yours. My first love is You. That's a beautiful offering to give to Him. This desire to have a close person, to have marriage, that closeness. I'm going to sacrifice that to You, Lord. I'm going to accept it. Because God doesn't ask for volunteers for singlehood. How many of you would like to raise hands here tonight for singlehood? Whoa. Neither does God ask for a raise of hands for people who suffer. Some people really suffer. He doesn't ask hands. I haven't talked about your brother Jason, your son. And on some of those things, why? Why didn't that happen to me? God doesn't ask for volunteers. He chooses them. And those people have a beautiful opportunity to show Jesus, don't they? In the same way with singlehood, He doesn't ask for volunteers, but God chooses them. It has nothing to do with your physical attraction, if you're beautiful or not. If you live in a Christian church, it has nothing to do with it. You hear that? It's not if you're smart or not. Divine appointment. Accept it that way and say, Lord, I had a beautiful experience the other day. About 3 weeks ago, went to Nicaragua for a retreat out back and had a wonderful time. There was this young man. My brother Pablo came from Huasalalan. He brought two young men with him. And the one young man, he came out of drugs and witchcraft. He was involved in witchcraft. And beautiful young person. He's about 20, I think 27, 28, I forget. He knows it. He talks about it. Even his brain is affected a little bit. His thinking capacity is affected a little bit because of burning him with drugs. But he has a love for Jesus. He told me his testimony the first time I met him. He told me his testimony and how the Lord worked him. And then Pablo told me how he's out constantly witnessing for people. And we were together, and I really came to love the brother. And Latins, you know, we hug each other, you know. I hug him. And we were talking about something about marriage, and I said, hey, brother, maybe the Lord will give you a wife, huh? And he just turned real serious. And he put me to shame. I was just kidding. But he said, you know, Hermano Marcos, he said, I love Jesus first. I'm not asking for a wife. I'm not looking for a wife. I'm going to serve Jesus. And if when I get 30, Jesus wants to give me a woman wife, okay. 40, 50, 60. If when He wants to give me a wife, there'll probably be a single one around He can give me. But meanwhile, what I'm interested in is loving Jesus and serving Jesus. Oh, I could have cried. beautiful. A man who's he's so thankful to what God has done for him. That my life is on the altar. You know, I don't know if God's going to bring him away or not. Those men have an interesting commitment. But anyway, I just like to say that if the Lord calls some of you to singlehood, take that precious thing in that box with cotton, put a lid on it, and give it to Him. Give it to Him. Because you know what? What satisfies the heart is not a husband, but a woman. I've counseled so many marriages. I wish they'd never seen their husband. They'd love to be single again. That's not good, but you can, Christian, with Jesus Christ, you can heal that too. But I remember one lady, she, don't get desperate. Please don't get desperate. Take the first one that comes around. This lady told me, tears running down her cheeks. She said, I thought that I wasn't going to get married. This young man came around, he came into the church, and his testimony was a little bit this way. But I thought I was going to miss it. I was not going to get a husband. The preachers encouraged me to wait. Other brethren in the church said, be careful. Don't yet. Be careful. But I said, I was desperate, and I didn't listen to him. And then tears running down her cheeks, she says, Mark, how long do I have to reap what I sow? How long? Because he was an alcoholic. And if you know what it's like to live with an alcoholic, it's terrible. How long do I have to reap what I sow? Don't give in to that type of thing. It's much more honorable to give it to the Lord. And you know, I'm sure there's all of this, probably most of you. Isn't it a beautiful thing to get married and to know God brought her? I could tell you my story. We each like to tell our stories. You like to tell your story, Steve? I like to tell my story how the Lord brought me my wife. But the beautiful thing about it is that He brought her. Yeah. Now, just to close, there might be some people here who have already been out in some of this. I said some of the things I did earlier. And at home, I say it too at home. But at home, there's, I would suppose, a higher percentage of ladies that have been out and already, what you say, messed around. They feel like their lives are already messed up. If you're one of those here tonight, Jesus can heal that. Jesus can take a person that's been hurt, has been out in sin, a deep repentance, and a just total commitment to Jesus. Jesus can heal that, and you can become a beautiful wife and a beautiful husband. But you've got to repent and stop it and change. And you can turn into that beautiful Jesus. That's what the gospel's all about. Healing broken hearts. He can bring us back to where we can again be what Jesus wants to be. The other man that was with my brother Pablo, he's got a long story, drug trafficking and a lot of other things. Lived with a lot of women. Oof. And now he's become a Christian. And now he's married. And he was on a 7-day fast. Lord, help me to learn how to love my wife. And he was excited. You know, he was telling Pablo, Pablo's his minister, you know, Pablo, the Lord's showing me some things. I'm learning some things. Because you know, a person who's been with a lot of women has a hard time loving one woman. It's a hard time with that. But he was praying. He was serious about this. I want to love this wife. She is my wife and has a beautiful little daughter. And I gave a lesson on, a message on having devotions, family devotions. He got all excited about that. He went home and had family devotions. And he took a video with his little digital camera. He took a video of him having devotions with his little girl. Because I told him when you have children, you have devotions, you should talk to your children. So he took a video and he's all excited about this. And but anyway, this man was fasting that the Lord would heal his heart to be able to love this woman. And I could see that man a beautiful heart. Beautiful heart. The Lord's doing the work. And so if we're some of us that have been out there and been hurt and been beat around, Jesus can heal us. That's the beautiful thing of the gospel. And so tonight I think I'm going to give a little an invitation. Again, I'm not going to apply a lot of pressure, but if there's someone here that just says, oh, I just want to get this off of my chest. I just want to get it off. It might be a single person. It might be a married person. Because this thing of pornography. You know what pornography is? Pornography is other women. And as soon as there's other women in your life, you have a hard time loving the one woman in your life. But I'm just going to, let's sing that song again. Who's our chorister here tonight? There. What's the number? Just As I Am. Let's sing that one again. Three verses. Let's do three verses. And if some of you would just say, tonight, I want to talk to someone. I want to get this out. I want to make this right. I want to find healing. Just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet and we'll have some brethren or someone pray with you afterwards and find that healing. If you feel like you just got to get this out of tonight, I want to take care of this, you just stand to your feet. Let's pray before. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful story of Jesus and how Jesus can take us back to your plan to live clean, pure lives. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Help us to think your thoughts and have your heart and to love you. Lord, you know the hearts here tonight. You know the needs of the hearts. If there's someone here tonight that's just ready to get this out and take care of it, Lord, give them the courage to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as we sing, if someone would like to just stand up, I'm not sure, brother, if you were doing that now. If someone would like to, let's sing this song. And as we sing, I'm not going to pressure you. It's the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's working in your life, just stand to your feet. It might be the first time you give your life to the Lord. Fine. If you want to just talk to someone and empty out and confess something, just that's your opportunity. I'm not going to push you to do it. It's your opportunity to find freedom. So, three verses. 566. God bless you. Does someone else feel that call? It's your opportunity. It's really your opportunity. Just take care of it. Go ahead, brother. bless you. Your name is Chris. You have someone here you know well after church, and we could talk with you and pray with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. You know, I'd like to just say something here. You know, I don't know what's happening in your heart. I don't know your life. That's you. But if there's something here, take care of it. You know what, young ladies.